you think your world is safe. It is an illusion. A comforting lie told to protect you. Enjoy these final moments, for I have returned. So, shall we begin?
All right, Lenny! Buckle up! It's showtime!
Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's going to do it? You? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You weep for Santiago, and you curse the Marines. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know. The death, while tragic, probably saved lives. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties. You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline. I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way. Otherwise, I suggest you pick up a weapon and stand a post. Either way, I don't give a damn what you think you are entitled to.
Reason on the Radio, 1 minute after the hour right here on blogtalkradio.com. It is the beginning of the end. One more day. We'll be back here tomorrow. Last day on Blog Talk Radio. I sent out a memo to everybody to let them know. Of course, they can find us on WAC FM about a month from now. We'll decide on exactly when it is we're going to do it. Actually, what's great is that Mary and I will be celebrating our one-year anniversary in a couple of weeks. It's not an official sort of anniversary of sorts, but... Yeah. To her it is. To her it is.
You know, no, it is.
Okay, all right, moving on. Anyway.
You said it earlier on post.
I know what I said.
No, you acknowledge it too. You said on the...
Will you please, what is
on
with
February 11, 2012, the day that Whitney Houston died was the...
Did we really have to mention that?
And I knew that we were going to be together.
Yes, did we have to... Did we have to mention that, though? Like, that we don't want that to be a part of. I know other people...
I had nothing to do with it.
All right.
You did that on your own reconnaissance.
No. My own accord. It was on my own, own accord.
What the hell?
Welcome to the English language. Anyway, it's Reese on the Radio on this January 24th, 2012.
It's a pleasure. We may not reach our anniversary date at this rate.
Anyway, welcome to the show. Did we play the Dan Joseph audio yesterday? We did. I don't think that we did. I know I from MRC TV. Anyway, I'll play that today. We have to get into that. The MRC TV, a third piece of audio that MRC TV did at the inauguration that I want to play today. O'Reilly just revealed that that attack that happened down
in April of 2012.
Was that April?
Why,
April of 2012 in Norfolk, Virginia, where the two news reporters were attacked by a mob of 30 black people, the 911 tape has finally been released. I guess because they figured the story's over and they can release the 911 tape. I hear that they have to by law.
They figure the story's over. It's because the O'Reilly Factor and O'Reilly and his team of people have been fighting to get it. He's not stopped, although he's not talked about it. It's still been a crusade of it.
Yeah, I want to listen to that. I watched the 11 p.m. Show tonight of O'Reilly to rebroadcast because I want to see that because O'Reilly has been, I mean, he's been like a pit bull lockjaw on that. So I'll sort of get that info. I know some of you are probably watching that as well. We've got to talk about broads in the military, broads on the front lines. What kind of joke is that? Oh, no, not the fact that they are going to be put on the front lines. It's what the report actually says about broads on the front line. It's a joke. I've never seen It's the worst case of window dressing I've ever seen in my entire life. And the media is lapping it up like a bunch of puppies. It's disgusting what it is that I'm watching here. I don't believe that JC is going to be joining us today. He usually comes in a little later, but I don't believe he's going to be joining us today. But again, we wish him and his extended family our well wishes and hope he's doing fine. I haven't heard from him all day, but all things considered, I can understand that. He has been? Okay, yeah, he sent me a picture today of him with a popcorn machine.
Yeah,
did you see that?
Yeah.
Is that a recent picture? Did he just get a popcorn maker?
No, it's not a recent picture.
It isn't? Okay.
Can you tell by the quality of the phone?
Well, he probably had a cheap phone. Well, it doesn't mean anything. I mean, I look at JC. I mean, JC's not a fashionable guy. I mean, it looked like a... I don't mean that in a sense like, you know, I'm saying you're not going to see JC in Brooks Brothers, okay? I'm just saying. I thought it was a reason.
The quality of the photo, though.
But the quality of the photo could be the result. It could be a result of something like, you know, bad phone. He probably has a Cricket cell phone. Well, I'm just saying, it's probably a Cricket phone or
an Obama phone,
exactly. Poor camera quality. Yeah, I mean, you never know. It could be anything. He could be his service provider could be Boricua Bell. You never know. It could be really, really bad. We'll get into that, of course, in a little bit. We also have to get into this ridiculous story. I know people are making fun of it, but Mary said something hilarious tonight. It's a couple of photos that are going viral of President Obama and his problems with flies. And when I tell you what Mary said about this, I mean, I know that I can be cruel when being funny. This was the most vicious freaking thing I've ever heard out of her mouth, and it wasn't even a point. I didn't even go, oh my god, I can't believe you said that. I ran through the house laughing. It was that good. I mean, you get me running through the house laughing, that's how good it is. So that was amazing. You have to hear what she said. It was foul. When I say it was foul, it was straight foul. Oh. So we'll talk about that when we get back. No more Beyonce news. No more Mai Tai Tao news. Mai Tai Tao, whatever the hell his name is. We're not getting into that anymore.
Duped is his name.
Yeah, duped. Exactly. Duped too. I think Greg Gutfeld said it best. Glance Armstrong doped, and Mai Tai Tao is a dope. That's the best way to put it. Anyway, we'll be back. Stick around. It's Reset on the Radio. All that and more when we return right here on blogtalkradio.com.
can't see. Reclining cause your stripes don't mean a thing to me. Throwing me criminal looks, y'all need to get in the book. Drop some water in your melon instead of acting like a felon. Hey yo son, who you telling? I make a meal if it was up to me. But since it ain't, I teach my feet to bank hard. And thank God, I smoke a substance of a different kind. Catch me tripping on earth when I'm high sunshine.
Downright to dirt, wonder why I make the work. With access to talent like Caucasians, the yellow cabs with an A-Rab driver. I live in party with marvelous conviction. Ain't no fiction when life claims some victims to be wet and subscribe to fun. Best believe that the life is trite. Cause the gun made a man out of pussy from around my way, who usually wouldn't have a fucking thing to say. Last year's hot box are now petrified bones. Now I find this is moving your neck to show. The anthem of this guy has a place in your eye, so you can be blessed to see in 3D double E.
Don't go anywhere. Reasonable Radio returns right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Hip hop,
Reese on the Radio, 15 minutes after the hour right here on blogtalkradio.com. January 24, 2013. A little bit of Roots featuring Common. Right there. And, okay, so I got to play this audio. Dan Joseph, MRC TV. He's done three videos at the inauguration. I think I played two of them already, and I haven't played the third. This one, of course, is typical. It probably couldn't get any dumber than this. And that's not criticizing Dan Joseph. That's just the people he interviewed. So in the, I think the last one of the last videos we played was a asking pretty much black voters, or black people who showed up at the inauguration, for that matter, where they ranked President Obama as president in all 44, where he ranked. And you know what they said. They ranked him number one, top three, all that other stuff. So, he did another take, same people. I guess he asked them a series of questions. And this is another one he did where, again, this is – if this had been asked about the Bush administration, imagine the outrage. That, you know, and it's funny because if you were asking George W. Bush supporters during the inauguration if we could change the Constitution, most of them would have said, change the Constitution? What are you, crazy? No, you don't change the Constitution. No, absolutely not. And they asked these people the same question with regards to President Obama, but here's what Dan Joseph asked them. This is just too funny.
Hey everybody, I'm Dan Joseph for MRC TV. Today marks the beginning of Barack Obama's second term. We're here at the inauguration. We're asking people if the Constitution should be changed so that Barack Obama can run for a third term. Wouldn't that be awesome? Do you think we should amend the Constitution to make it so that President Obama can run for a third term?
Yes.
You do?
Yes. Yes.
You do, absolutely.
I sure do, yes.
I mean, if we do that, you might lose, though.
Well, if we try. Yes, I'm really good.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that. I'm not for it.
No, why not? You think we should do that?
Yes!
Well, that's a 50-50 thing. Sometimes if you change, you might bite off more than you can chew.
Yeah, you might lose.
Yeah.
Do we change the Constitution so Obama can run for a third term?
Yes. I don't know. I've never thought about that.
Would you vote for him for a third term?
I would.
Why do you think we need him for a third term?
Because he's a good man. I vote for him.
Yeah, my vote.
He had my vote as well.
All right. No matter what.
No matter what.
You think Barack Obama is like a genius?
I can't cuss on this.
Yeah, I think maybe the Constitution needs to be changed because there are a lot of loopholes.
And you do know if we do that, there's a chance that he might lose.
Okay, now the person will be the winner.
What if he, like, screws up? Would you consider not voting for him if he...
I got my kids and my family with me. We came from South Carolina and we just decided. Two terms.
So what are you most excited about in terms of policies in Obama's second term coming up?
I'm very excited about the universal health care plan. I'm excited that we got the physical cliff halfway there.
What was it? The what?
The physical cliff.
The physical cliff, okay.
You heard it, folks. I didn't. I swear to you, it's the best part. I'm so glad he saved. I'm so glad that he left that one for laugh. I turned it into a bit. I have to play it.
I got my kids and my family with me. We came from South Carolina, and we just decided. Two terms.
So what are you most excited about in terms of policies in Obama's second term coming up?
I'm very excited about the universal health care plan. I'm excited that we got the physical cliff halfway there.
What was it? The what?
The physical cliff.
The physical cliff. Okay.
Even she was laughing.
The physical cliff. The healthcare plan, if we got the physical cliff halfway there. This.
Well, she got something right.
Yeah.
The healthcare plan is the physical cliff.
Right, exactly. I'm just... Now, I know people are saying don't... You should not just lump her in with a whole bunch of people that... I'm sorry, folks.
Why not?
I'm lumping her in with every one of them. Those blind mice. He's a good man. That, I'm just voting for him because he's a good man. I back him no matter what. Doesn't matter what it is
he
doing.
He should have a third term.
Change.
Bush, if it was Bush's ass.
Yeah, exactly. They'd have been outraged if anybody suggested it. Change in the Constitution. What are you crazy? We don't want him no more. But, of course, they would not have been at the inauguration.
If it was a white man, it would have been a whole other story.
Yeah, white man would have said that and said, yeah, we need Bush for a third. They'd have gone, that racist bastard.
You being racist.
Do you think today George W. Bush would be able to run against a Barack Obama?
No.
Let's say you think George W.
No.
Bush would be he'd be
no.
beaten?
Of course.
How about if it were Ronald Reagan versus Barack Obama? It's a tough one, right?
I think if he had a third term, that definitely Ronald Reagan would win.
If Ronald Reagan were to go up against Barack Obama, do you believe that it would be as close as it was with Mitt Romney?
No, I think that Ronald Reagan would win by a landslide.
Landslide. Yeah, I believe so, too. I really do. I believe that wholeheartedly. I believe that Ronald Reagan's charisma and his sense of humor, he was whimsical.
And black and white people both loved him.
No, they did not.
They did.
No, they did not. No. The one thing about Ronald Reagan's tenure, especially during the election in 1980, the one thing that set him apart was, one, no conscious black person was going to vote for Jimmy Carter again after what was going on in places like New York. New York had 1,700 murders in 1979. Yeah. Okay, that number's down to about 340 right now. 1,700 homicides. In fact, in 1979, on New Year's Eve, New Year's night, there was a nightclub killing. Now, what was... No, it was at some nightclub. It was a nightclub killing in 1979, New Year's Eve. What was so horrendous about this murder was that it was a stabbing of some sort at some party. A pregnant woman was stabbed and killed. That's how bad. And several things run through your mind is going, what's your pregnant ass doing at
a nightclub? Now, instead of pregnant women being at parties and getting stabbed to death, they're fighting each other over dollar bill tickets on the pole.
Yo, it's funny that you mentioned that because Julie in Boston sent...
But hold up, the same hoes is about to get on the front line with machine
guns. We'll get into that in a minute. But the pregnant girl...
I see them out on the front field, in the front line. Bitch, my hair looks better than yours.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Antoine is my man, bitch.
Yeah, We'll get into all that. I want to say this. This is interesting. I just want to say this. When Julie and you were communicating about the two pregnant hookers, strippers. My bad.
No, one pregnant, one not pregnant.
Okay, so one of them was pregnant.
Yes, the other one was not.
Was she, what was she, like 3 weeks pregnant, four
I don't
weeks
know, they
pregnant?
Didn't say.
They did not see, I hate this. This is why journalists.
She's pregnant. I don't give a damn.
I know, but I want to know. She's a stripper in a strip club fighting over a dollar bill. I want to know if the bitch is showing. That's all I want to know.
Most likely.
But
she was in the strip club fighting over a dollar.
That's my whole point. But it's like when
she's probably ready to go any moment.
Hey, Daddy, what's going on? Excuse me. Are you pregnant?
Are you with child?
Are you with child? Oh, nah. You know, I just had a couple of...
I'm gay.
Nah, I had a couple of brews before my shift.
I got an alien. I've been invaded by
aliens. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Before I came out, you know, I was drinking with my homies, and you know, I had
one too many 40.
I had a 40. I can't believe there's a pregnant. I mean, the fact that they found out that the girl was pregnant.
It's not my baby, boo. I'm carrying this baby for some other bitch.
That is just in and of itself awful. Let me tell you this cruel thing that Mary said. Since I teased it. Drudge Report's got a headline that says Fly Guy, because apparently when President Obama was doing something, I don't even know exactly what it was, but he was speaking to a group of people, and he's at the podium, and he's speaking, and apparently some fly was buzzing around him, and it landed square on his forehead between his eyes, and he was trying to wave it off, or whatever it was. But then Brian Williams on NBC was showing a previous interview with an NBC reporter where President Obama, famously, you people may remember it, pretty much spotted the fly when it landed on him, and he popped it and he caught it. He killed the fly with his bare hands, and everybody in the room was impressed. But Mary, as astute as she is, Mary says, after I do, I say, what's the deal with this dude and all the flies? You know what they say about flies and shit. And Mary jumps right on it, not skipping a beat. And she says, go ahead, say what you said. This is brilliant.
Well, you know his ass is from somewhere in Zimbabwe. So, if there was no other clear sign than the birth certificate issue, that joker sought out a fly that landed on his hand in the middle of an interview, never skipped a beat, and killed it with his bare hand the first try. One moment.
She said,
you didn't even see his hand move. All you heard was the smack, and then you saw him with a napkin picking the dead fly up off of the carpet.
It was like the way she said it was
I'm surprised he didn't stick his tongue out. Like frogs do, and just...
She said, you know how they do it in Zimbabwe. And I took it like completely different saying that because Obama was allegedly from Africa and flies are just drawn to him. But that was just, to me, that was just foul.
That's what they teach you over there. They probably have competition. You know they live in mosquito nets and shit.
Oh, man.
Although they say, don't kill a mosquito if it's on your skin because that makes it bite you.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I don't... I instinctively hit
you're supposed to swat them away.
Oh, really?
But with a fly...
I didn't know that.
I just go for it.
Well, but I just thought that was interesting.
How many times have you seen a fly in the house and been... even a moth.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that flies. And you're running around the house trying to catch that son of a gun.
Yeah, but this thing...
With a fly swatter.
But how weird is it that these flies...
But
just,
this fly flew on his hand.
Yeah.
And then he just... You didn't even see...
It didn't even touch anybody else. They're just flying to him. What is that about? I mean, he's wearing... I mean, what does that dude make... I mean, I don't know what to think, but a fly to just... I mean, it just... And the weird part about it is that the first time the fly stuck into his hair, he didn't move. He didn't even move.
It was like no big deal.
It was instinctive. It's just instinctual that he wouldn't even move until
started,
it got in his face.
He probably started hearing in his body. Boom, 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 boom,
boom. We're out of here. We'll be back.
He had to leave it on there and wait. He had to seek out his prey. That's what true...
Undugus
do. That's how undugu do.
We'll be back.
Testing under another. Yeah, yeah. Yo, this one's for the people. All the bees that are bleeding and sleeping and eat shit, breathe. I thought we all equal. Ain't a man on the God's green bee underneath any other. I don't want to play preacher, but I swear they turn an ear when we talk about peace and love. Sometimes might need a hug. Yeah, we all want to come on up, but this ain't about Jesus. No way, no Abe, no Ike, Moses, or Muhammad. Yeah, it's all about believing. Full steam ahead because you know the worst times are behind me. I don't want to sound cheesy, but I just really mean it. Yeah, I'm telling, I can feel it.
to the bank and we only want to buy new shoes. The way that we think, we can do anything that we really want to put our mind to. The American dream, dream is a pyramid scheme, scheme. And it feels out of reach when it's hard and the times are tough. But same starts with us, yep, yep, we all want freedom. Yeah, to be who we be, I don't want to be afraid when I speak to say what I'm feeling. Yeah, together we're strong, but divided never been so weak. It's time we get even, yeah, yeah. And really what I mean is a change, I can feel it. Yeah, yeah, Mr. President, think it's all gonna be okay. This one's for all of y'all, I'm the same as all of y'all. I work real hard enough for every little bit that I get, but this is all I need. So sing a song with me. It goes like, it's gonna sound like this. Everybody start clapping hands. It's like.
Come on, players, stop hating, stop participating, star. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby, twinkle, twinkle.
Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Wow, we're in stereo?
Mm-hmm.
That's Spoon on Reese on the Radio. It's about 20 minutes to the top of the hour right here on blogtalkradio.com, January 24th, 2013. We're back. So broads in the military. That's the new window dressing, folks. Broads in the military on the front lines. Fighting on the front lines. Paratrooping, jumping out of airplanes, doing covert operations. I hear that some of the things that they're going to ask women to train to do. What's the thing? How many football fields do they have to swim in 12 minutes? They got to do a couple of football fields in 12.
They have to swim X amount of laps, which is X amount of football fields or whatever, in a couple of minutes.
Yeah, 12. I think it's 12 minutes.
After doing all the running a mile.
Yeah, they got to do all. It's almost like they're running a triathlon,
yeah,
so to speak. They've got to do all. It's not going to happen, folks. That's one. And first of all,
a 135, 145 pound woman cannot carry a 6'5", 250 pound man, wounded man to safety. You can't.
Yeah, I just look, again, like I said earlier today on Pooch FM, they are not, we do not want to see, especially with the new sort of war, if you will, the 21st century war against the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, these militants. These Islamic fundamentalists. I don't see these broads getting into a confrontation with one of these people. I just don't see it. It's bad enough they don't like the infidel American soldier coming over to their country.
Don't let a woman.
That's what I'm saying.
A woman kill one of those.
Oh, are you kidding me? It's like, did you hear about Muhammad? Yes, he killed by one of the infidel women. Let the Taliban, let them find out that a woman killed Muhammad. Let anybody find out that Ahmed got killed by a broad. With the lack of respect.
Will they still get 12 virgins?
Absolutely not. Allah will disown them. How did you die, my son? Are you kidding me? I got shot by some bitch. To Hades with you. Oh, man. If you think the Taliban was pissed off when they found out that Prince Harry killed a couple of their members. Remember, they put a bounty out on him when Prince Harry was engaged with killing Taliban members. They put a bounty out on him. Let them find out a woman was responsible for killing one. A woman? That's what everybody would be saying. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad would say, a woman? Launch codes, please. If you want to talk about...
Why can't we just be women, for Christ's sake? We're women.
Uninterested. They are uninterested in that. See, I don't want to know who is pushing this agenda. Who is the group that's saying that we want... I mean, I understand women wanting to be patriotic. I have no issue with that, with them serving in the military, and I'm not trying to be sexist here. But
be patriotic and take care of your kids at home while your husband
husband's out there giving his life. Exactly. Exactly.
That's being patriotic, broad.
Serve the military at home. I mean, I'm not trying to put you in a subservient role here as women. I'm not trying to say that, but, you know, it's a...
Take your place. Yes, it's not subservient in a disrespectful way, Kevin, take your place, for Christ's sake.
They don't want it anymore. They don't. Those traditional... I understand, but of course, they've been humiliating and ostracizing those women for eons.
Listen.
You know, go ahead. Hey, JC's with us. What's up, buddy?
It's those Queen Latifah-type dykes
oh,
that want to
man.
Be on the front line.
It said it's those Queen Latifah-like dykes that are out there. I don't think it's just them. I think it's this quote-unquote equality movement. You're probably right in the level of sort of the aggressive, you know, National Organization of Women types. You're probably absolutely correct there.
Yeah. Remember when they were taking off pictures of those Iraqi soldiers stacked
You're
up,
talking about
butt
Abu
naked.
Ghraib.
They had a chick at the top of the standing on top of them with her gun.
Right. In Abu Ghraib.
Was it Abu Ghraib? Yeah.
Yes. Abu Ghraib.
So they've been wanting to get out there for some time now. Hell, I got a niece who's got 11 years in.
Okay.
And she did three tours of Iraq.
Okay.
And she's getting ready to go back.
Wow, she's going on a fourth tour to Iraq?
Yes.
Not even going to Afghanistan?
No. I think she's going back to Iraq.
What is missing in these women's lives? Like, what is missing in your life that you feel the need to go out and put your life at risk? And not saying anything, you know, against the men that go out and do that, against anybody that goes out and does that.
That's the ultimate sacrifice.
You know, it is the ultimate sacrifice, and I thank you every day for sacrificing for my freedom. I just couldn't do it, and I don't get it. There's plenty of men. I don't know. I don't want to be a jerk, but, you know, to me.
Well, look, if women aren't qualified to play football, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well put.
So
now
I'm,
we're speaking my terminology.
Yeah, we wouldn't put a woman in a situation where she was, you know, a running back or a cornerback or a defensive lineman.
Or
we wouldn't,
even a cornerback for
we,
that matter.
Exactly. We wouldn't put a woman in those conditions ever to play a sport. What would make you think?
And when women do play sports that are predominantly played by men, the rules are different.
Completely different.
So, you know, come on, ladies. It's not necessary. And what happens when, you know, when Maria comes along and screws with you and David's relationship because y'all have been stuck out in the desert for, you know, 6 months with nothing and nobody, and you've grown close to one another, and here comes Maria, and you ain't digging that too much. I mean, women, we know how we... I mean, you just can't cohabitate that way in those... So many things could go wrong. It's like...
You're saying you're creating more of a distraction.
You're creating a distraction, you know.
So many things could go wrong. Like, what,
what's
you might fall in love?
What's that? Yeah, you fall in love, right?
Love in Iraq.
What's beneath the burqa?
What's that?
A porno. What's beneath the burqa?
Just like I don't think this whole, you know, you should be able to go into the military, and if you're gay or lesbian, you should be able to tell people whatever. That's
well,
not
I mean, listen. If they're willing to let gay guys in, especially those that are really, really flaming on the front line, why not let women?
Yeah, but you know what? Again,
I just don't. That's not the place for you to be divulging your sexual orientation.
Right.
When you're in the military and you're fighting for the freedom and the safety of our country, I don't give a shit whether you're a homosexual or heterosexual.
Yeah,
but listen, women have fought on the front lines for a very long time, even in the Civil War. I believe, what, Harriet Tubman fought in the Civil War, didn't she?
No.
Yeah, I thought she did.
What? How'd she fight in the Civil War? She got.
Okay,
she have a body count in the Civil War?
Wait, this is the thing that everyone needs to understand. And this is the verbiage that Panetta and everybody else is using that's talking about this and reporting on this. Is where everybody's using this front line. Women have not been on the front line
in any other roles other than logistic roles and
right.
medical roles
right.
in the military.
And that's okay. I mean, isn't
have,
that...
We're talking... So them saying, oh, women are going to be able to go and have, you know, more openness on the front line. They have 4 years to sit around and decide what roles women should never, ever be in. So, they're, you know, it's like, okay, we're going to think about it for 4 years, but we're going to let you women celebrate the fact that we're going to...
That's all it is.
Because when they come back...
And if you want to get on the front line, make yourself useful. Find ways to make those MREs palatable.
Say, find ways to do what?
Make the MREs palatable.
Yeah, well, look, here's where it makes absolutely no sense at this point to even suggest this plan that Leon Panetta is proposing. It's why it makes no sense is because, one, if it's not going to be implemented until 2016 and it has to be voted on, that's the biggest idea.
Well,
that's to be voted on.
It still has to be discussed. What
right.
they're saying is, we have voted to open this discussion now.
Yeah, that's all it is. It's saying, hey, you know, we're thinking about having women on the front lines, and we'll wait 4 years to decide on.
And they're also saying, but don't get it twisted. It's not going to be unlimited.
Well, yeah.
You're not going to have, regardless of what happens with this vote or with this move, it's women, you are still not going to be men's equal.
Well, it's just a gesture.
Exactly.
A gesture.
It's a,
so are we making too much of
it's
it?
It's a here. Are you, you know, almost got your period? You want some chocolate cake? I have some for you. Let's celebrate. You know, see me in the next 30 days.
But, no, do you think that this is a gesture to just sort of quiet some criticisms of the military?
Is
it a PR? No.
Who's even criticizing this? What women are out there? I saw this one woman on the news. She was some kind of, like, ridiculous athlete. She had done this, you know, these competitions where the men go for, like, the strongest men or whatever.
Yeah.
And
she outbeat
the four other men that were competing with her. And she, honey, you're like one in what? 100,000?
They love doing that. You use one woman as the staple for all. You know, you say, it's like, oh, she did it. Anybody can.
Second of all, I don't know a lot of women that, you know, want to be like 6'2", looking like a dude. And, you know, I mean, that want to do stuff like that. Women, being a woman, you should celebrate that. You can be...
It's no longer celebrated in that fashion anymore.
I don't know.
Overall, it's a major distraction. Because,
you try to compete with men on these types of, like, physical levels and battling and fighting, you know, that's not necessarily gaining equality.
Right, but on the same token, to have men and women in that close proximity for that amount of time, there are bound to be relationships.
Yeah.
Of course there are. There's already relationships between men and other men that are in those situations.
Sure enough.
So you bring a bitch into
women,
the picture.
Women and women even.
Bring a bitch into the picture, and there we go. It's a party. Of course there are. And there's already all these, you know, when there have been women put into certain areas in the military or certain barracks or whatever, co-ed, they go and are suing the military and the government for not doing anything because there's sexual harassment. Women are being
raped. Even.
They're being raped. They're being brutalized. They're being, you know, out in Kuwait or wherever they are, out in the
Kuwait,
you know,
wow.
Wherever they are, out in the desert, in these military bases or whatever, where, you know, you're out here away from everybody else, and you're only one in five.
Didn't we just read something today about the Lackland, or what was it?
The Lackland.
Yeah, Lackland trials.
Yeah.
Which is apparently like one of the largest
sexual
assault case.
Yeah, largest like sexual scandal assault case or whatever.
In the military.
Yeah, since some other thing that was, had gone on for two decades. I forget everything that I read.
Yeah, this it just isn't, in no way is this a cohesive.
But again, it's not a good fit. Women cannot physically compete with men to that level.
That bothers them. That I'm not, and again, I'm not playing devil's advocate here. I'm just making their argument.
Reality is, I know for me, I'm 5'4", and I think I can handle my own. But you know, if something, you're 6'4", you're a foot taller than me.
Mm-hmm.
If God forbid you were shot, I could not lift you up and carry you to safety.
You could not drag me.
I would hope to be able to drag you.
Yeah, I don't think you can even do that.
And I probably couldn't do that either.
You've had a hard time even trying. When we like do our little pushing game, you have a hard time even. I mean, I just hold my arm steady and you can't move.
Yeah, I mean, you're a pretty strong dude. And besides the fact you have an entire foot on me, you know, we women are just not built that way. And it is okay, ladies. You don't have to compete with men for equality. What you really want is just for men to respect you, be who you are, and screw everybody else. But you ain't got to be out on the front line risking your life to show another motherfucker.
Hey,
I got balls too. Girl, go get your nails done. Shit, are you crazy?
Nothing wrong with being a lady.
Go get your nails done and a pedicure.
This is why I love guys from Massachusetts, and especially in Boston. The best freaking humor in the world are my boys up in New England. Sally B. just said, brings a whole new meaning to foxhole. I love it. I can't take it. I love his humor. We'll be back. We'll go to the top of the hour. Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods. I didn't know this. I found this out a couple of days ago.
Can I say one more thing?
Yes, go ahead before we go.
Let me say one more thing. And ladies, even if you are out in the front of the frontest lines of
combat
out there, your paycheck still ain't going to be what John's is standing next to you.
Well, you're saying that they're not going to get paid the same wage?
Hell no.
Wow.
It's not going to happen.
I'll be honest with you. It still shouldn't be. It still shouldn't be. We'll be
so
back.
What are you fighting for? You're fighting a losing battle. Your own destruction.
Only time I ever want to see broads fight is in mud and or jello. We'll be back.
warning, the sound you're about to hear can be devastating to your ear.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it.
You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's going to do it? You? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You weep for Santiago, and you curse the Marines. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know. The death, while tragic, probably saved lives. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties. You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline. I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way. Otherwise, I suggest you pick up a weapon and stand a post. Either way, I don't give a damn what you think you are entitled to.
Reese on the Radio, we are back. We are live right here on blogtalkradio.com, January the 24th, 2013, 1 minute after the hour. I'm trying to look at this this list that came out today based upon Dianne Feinstein's new revised assault weapons ban. And I'm looking at the list. I'm praying that our good friend White Mike in Florida will call in, because people now are saying, after reading this list, that Dianne Feinstein, as well as the Obama administration, has pretty much been duping us, because they said they weren't going after pistols, guns in essence. And I'm looking at this list. Now, I'll admit, I'm not an aficionado on guns. I will never suggest that I am. But I'm looking at some of these, and I look at some of these handguns, as they are pistols for this matter. And I'm looking at stuff like, it says, for pistols on the list, all AK-47 types, including the following: Centurion 39 AK pistol, Draco AK-47 pistol, HCR AK-47 pistol, IO Inc., Hellpup AK-47 pistol, Krenkov pistol, Mini Draco AK-40. Is it Draco? That looks like Draco.
It's Draco.
Okay, Draco AK-47 pistol. Hugo Krebs Krink pistol, all AR-15 types, including the following: American Spirit. These are, in fact, American Spirit, the distributor. They're the ones who had that problem with the Bank of America that's going on right now. So American Spirit, AR-15 pistol, Bushmaster Carbon 15 pistol, Double Star Corporation AR pistol, DPMS AR-15 pistol, Olympic Arms AR-15 pistol, Rock River Arms LAR-15 pistol, Calico Liberty pistols, DSA SA-58 PKP FAL pistol. Wow, I have to go through all that.
Okay, and the list goes on. There's no, I don't see any like 45.
Yeah, I don't see anything here, anything, but hold like on. This. I did, and I'm almost certain I did see here Sig Hauer P-555 pistol.
556.
Thank you. 556 pistol, Sight Spectre. All Thompson types, including the following: Thompson TA-510D, Thompson TA-5, all Uzi types, including the micro Uzi. And they're also banning shotguns in this list, which is baffling the crap out of me, because I didn't think shotguns fell into this particular
assault rifle group. Other than for banning.
Was that, yeah, that was a shotgun use, wasn't it? And he was killed by, well, yeah, it was a rifle, right? Or his mother, I should say. So I don't know much about these guns, so I can't really argue with the list, but I hear that some people are outraged.
The argument, regardless of what's on the list, the argument is the freaking Second Amendment.
Well, and that much I know.
And she said in her own words, she's not trying to to hurt anybody against the Second Amendment. She's just simply trying to, in these words, but in no other terms, she's trying to disintegrate the making of the guns themselves.
Well, she wants to stop production of them altogether.
Exactly.
So, go ahead, I'm sorry.
I didn't mean to... then they're no longer, you know, available to anyone. Come on now, give me a break. How many people are you going to put out of job? How many people's rights are you taking away? Everyone.
They're going to be...
But I don't think this is going to pass. They're not going to... The NRA, I mean, you don't mess with the tobacco companies, and you don't mess with the NRA, and the tobacco companies are about to go crazy anyway because they're trying to... not only are they after guns, but they're after smoking cigarettes.
About terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, the bill protects hunters and sportsmen.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I wanted to play this audio, so I apologize if I just got caught off guard. But here's what she said today. This was her statement in front of all of these people. I love it when they always use people as props in these arguments. This was her today talking about the assault weapon ban.
A ban on importation of assault weapons and large capacity magazines. Elimination of the 10-year sunset. Let me tell you what the bill will not do. It will not affect hunting or sporting firearms. Instead, the bill protects hunters and sportsmen by protecting 2,200 specifically named weapons used for hunting or sporting purposes. They are by make and model exempted from the legislation. When we did this bill in 93, there were 375. Today, there are 2,200. Finally, the bill subjects existing or grandfathered weapons to a background check in the event the weapon is sold or transferred. So we have tried to learn from the bill. We have tried to recognize legal hunting rights. We have tried to recognize legal defense rights. We have tried to recognize the right of a citizen to legally possess a weapon. No weapon is taken from anyone. The purpose is to dry up the supply of these weapons over time. Therefore, there is no sunset on this bill.
So the bottom line is, and I don't care what it is that she thinks she is saying, because she believes that, oh, she's protecting the rights of people who have guns already, and, you know, we're not trying to take your guns. She keeps mentioning about hunting.
We're not going to take your guns. We're just going to take away the possibility of anyone else getting these guns.
Well, absolutely. But here's the thing that gun right activists don't seem to understand about the Second Amendment. They keep thinking that the Second Amendment is about a person's right to bear arms to protect themselves from another person, and they believe that the gun should be used for hunting. That's what they believe the tenets of the Second Amendment is.
Of course, but that's not what the...
It has nothing to do with that.
It's for the people to protect themselves from our government.
Exactly, bottom line.
Crazy broad.
Exactly, and she won't mention it, and she won't talk about it, but yet... What makes this even worse is that no one is willing. No, hold on. No one is willing to confront the gun nuts, the gun advocates. No one's willing to confront them and say, listen, we have the right to bear arms to protect ourselves from a tyrannical government, as the people in Syria have to deal with now. People in Egypt have had to deal with. The people in Tunisia have to deal with. Those countries that have to deal with tyrannical governments who are willing to shoot hundreds and thousands of people in one fell swoop. In one fell swoop, they can do that. That we, because of we know this is modern times, that we preserve the right to bear arms to protect ourselves from that possibility. They will
immediately... that impeding possibility.
But they will argue, what makes you think your government would do that to you? Look at those other countries. And again, any country that would want to take these sort of weapons from its citizens, in and of itself, to me, screams of a government who believes in and of itself that it can, when it so chooses, to become a tyrannical government. And if a country cannot defend itself, that in essence cannot defend itself as individual people, as a militia, in the event that their government becomes out of control, which it can, because they have access to the military, the National Guard, and anything else for that matter, that people lawfully should be able to defend themselves against an unlawful government. It's funny how I hear more and more black people and more leftists talk about how this government is corrupt, how it kills, how it's genocidal, everything it is that they say about this government. But then you ask them about the right to bear arms, to fight against this government, they will sit up there and choose gun control over the fact that they believe that over the fact that people should be able to defend themselves against its tyrannical government. That being said, listen to this broad, Dianne Feinstein, back in 1995.
An anecdote about terrorism, because less than 20 years ago, I was the target of a terrorist group. It was the New World Liberation Front. They blew up power stations and put a bomb at my home when my husband was dying of cancer. And the bomb was set to detonate around 2 o'clock in the morning, but it was a construction explosive that doesn't detonate when it drops below freezing. It doesn't usually...
Why the hell did that happen?
YouTube, you're a joke. I'm playing a YouTube audio. It's a complete joke.
Technical difficulties.
Yeah, of course. It's always technical difficulties. Anyway, in essence, she's talking about this this bomb that was set to go off at 2 o'clock in the morning underneath her car. It's not supposed to detonate in cold weather. Hold on. I think it's playing now.
When it drops below freezing. It doesn't usually freeze in San Francisco, but on this night, it dropped below freezing, and the bomb didn't detonate. I was very lucky, but I thought of what might have happened. Later, the same group shot out all the windows of my home, and I know the sense of helplessness that people feel. I know the urge to arm yourself, because that's what I did. I was trained in firearms. I'd walked to the hospital when my husband was sick. I carried a concealed weapon. I made the determination that if somebody was going to try to take me out, I was going to take them with me. Now, having said all of that, that was a period of time ago, and I've watched for these 20 years as terrorism has increased, both on the far extremist left and the far extremist right in this country.
Interesting that she would say that. What makes this, again, very obvious to me is, of course, a clip that I play all the time, you know, by the infamous and very wise Chuck Woolery, who said this in his Chuck Woolery Minute. And what I love about this is what he says about the Japanese.
Hello, America. I'm Chuck Woolery with today's Save Us Chuck Minute. My fellow Americans, there is no doubt that it's tragic when anyone takes the life of another without cause, but to blame assault weapons would be like blaming airplanes for the 9/11 attack. The problem lies with the perpetrator, not the gun. So why should we have assault weapons? Number one, the Constitution. It's still the law of the land, and the Second Amendment says I have the right to bear arms. Number two, it allows for people to protect themselves even from the government if necessary. Lessons learned from living under King George. Number three, the threat of armed citizens deters foreign invaders like Japan in World War II, who feared we would have a rifle behind every blade of grass. Number four, all guns are dangerous in the wrong hands, so it makes no sense to selectively ban some. Number five, the gun industry employs about 184,000 people. Ban the guns, those people become unemployed. Or isn't...
You get the gist of it. You pretty much get the gist of it. Bottom line is that, look, terrorists who would try to come into this country, who'd probably try far worse than our government would at this particular point. They hate us more than our government hates us. I would rather have those people under the impression... Yeah, exactly. But I would rather those people say, nah, I ain't going to America. You crazy? There's a gun in every goddamn house. Those dudes got assault weapons. I'm not going over there for what? We wouldn't make it past the border.
Exactly.
Well, wouldn't make it through the door, past the cornfields.
And most people in other countries do have arms.
Yeah, well, you know, not around here. Our good friend Sally D on the phone with us. What's up, Sally?
Well, you know, this bill, I'm pro-gun. I mean, I think anybody who, you know, has a legal right to own a gun should not be held up by the local police. There's all sorts of these little games that go on. But, you know, when you see the reason this bill scares me so much is this idea that they're picking these 200 guns, which I don't have a lot of statistics on or familiarity with all these models of weapons.
Right.
But there's also a registry that's tied to this bill. So I don't know if you're aware of that.
Right. No, it is. Excuse me. Yeah, I do know there's a registry applied to it. What they want is a national registry, which, of course, would in and of itself become a federal registry. That's even a bigger issue as far as a federal registry is concerned, because then the government has access to what it is that you own, how much of it is that you own. And again, with the argument being an empirical or a tyrannical government, they've got more information on you than you have on them. And with a weapons ban or assault weapons ban, therefore, they are making sure that in the event that they decide that they're coming for you, a la Ruby Ridge, you can't defend yourself.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the scary thing, you know, the whole the idea of a registry. And, you know, then what happens if the wrong people get their hands on this registry? You know, it's going to basically tell everybody who owns what. Government can't secure things in general. So this piece of information, if it ever gets in the wrong hands, could be used against anybody who owns guns. For instance, employers in the back channel. You know, they're checking you out. They want to see what you're all about. Maybe they check this. If they're anti-gun, they have a strong feeling about it. Maybe they try and check and see if you have if you're a owner of a weapon. And if you are, maybe you know you're not part of that team. So there's a lot of concern there from my perspective. This goes way beyond you know, the whole idea of this just being a gun issue. This just starts to this sprawls out into so many areas. You know, as far as the whole Second Amendment about the fact that this is about defending yourself against, you know, a tyrannical country, we've lost that ability a long time ago. You know, there would be little or no chance for people to defend themselves against this country because we've become so reliant upon them. But at the end of the day, you know, I think that you have to look at the big picture on this bill. It's not the guns that are banning. It's the registry. It's the inroad to doing more. So they first get this, then it's going to be, you know, and here's the other piece of this. So they mentioned mentally ill. I totally agree. If someone's, quote, unquote, mentally ill, they shouldn't own a weapon. But is mentally ill the guy going through a hard time who sees a therapist? Is mentally ill someone who had a bit of a nervous breakdown at work and was asked to take a week off? Who defines what mentally ill is at that point?
Right, exactly.
So,
and
that's
predetermined. That's clearly going to be predetermined by this government. It's not going to. There won't be a. There won't be a standard bearer, so to speak. And if the standard bearer is the government, that could be arbitrary, for crying out loud.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. So, the only saving grace is they're talking about this as a bill that would have to get passed, correct?
This has got to pass through Congress.
Okay, so the odds of it ever getting through are slim and none, and you could look at it in terms of Democrats posturing or the left posturing.
Right.
And possibly looking towards 2016 to say, we tried to do something about gun violence and the conservatives held it up.
That's fine. That, you know, it, again, the NRA is more popular than Hollywood, and the NRA is more popular than Congress is anyway. There's not more damage that they could possibly do to Congress. Hey, I want to play this clip. Mary, you should hear this too. A Missouri senator's bill would force parents to report their gun ownership, but you'll never ever, you probably won't believe. Wait until you hear where this Missouri senator wants you to pretty much report your gun ownership to. This is baffling.
So is everyone ready? Thank you so much.
First of all, I want to thank you for coming up here today, because there has been a lot of focus on gun violence. Lots of people like to say that gun violence is a national and federal issue, but it is also a state and local issue. Not only do I serve as a senator, but I also am a school board member in University City. And I want to let you know that it is time that we finally address what is going on in our urban core. That is what is lacking in the conversation overall. In my district alone, in the last 8 months, we've had 12 incidences of young children in the urban core who have had dealings with guns. We had a 12-year-old who killed another 12-year-old because he took the gun that was not stored from his grandfather. That was 3 days before Connecticut. 2 days after Connecticut, we had a 17-year-old gang member who decided to kill another 17-year-old who was in our alternative school and trying to do the best job that he could to have a life and get back on track. This is an issue for all of us to be concerned about. What my bill deals with is three things, basically. Parents need to be involved. They must be involved. As we deal with the issues of the urban core, one of the things you need to know is that many of these situations derive because parents are not storing their guns, period. And so my bill addresses that. We must ensure that parents are responsible for proper storage of their bills, of their guns. The other thing that this bill does is that it also creates the offense of negligent storage. And it requires the parent or the guardian to tell the school if they have a gun. So what is happening in our communities, one of which is we have several students.
That's all you need to hear. They want parents and guardians to report to the school if they have a gun. That's in her bill. It's called Senate Bill... Senate Bill 124. She's a state senator.
Yeah.
Yeah. State senator. And she says because of these two incidents, her name is Maria Chappelle Nadal. And she is trying to pass Senate Bill 124. It targets the failure to properly lock or secure a firearm and would penalize a parent or guardian who fails to stop their minor child from possessing a firearm illegally. The bill would also require parents to report gun ownership to their children's school. She says, what we're saying is that if you're a parent, X, we would like to know as a school district that you have a gun.
None of your business.
I mean, to me, it's just extremely, why would I report to a school that I have a gun?
Yeah, this is absolute madness.
Does it end
with the school, or does it end with, you know, if there's a Boy Scout troop nearby?
Yeah.
Does it end if kids have a bus stop near your house? Where does it end?
That's exactly. I mean, like, the school. I mean, what service does it serve? I mean, what does it serve the school to know that I have a gun in the house? And I guess it applies to you if you're a parent or a guardian. Is there some sort of, and I'm almost feeling like if the kid comes to school.
Are you going to search my kid?
No, that's the thing. Check this out. I think this is exactly what it's about. Okay, so let's say everybody in the neighborhood or in that district, they each and every one of them report to school that they own a gun. Now, they're not just going to walk in and say, hey, by the way, I'm Mr. Smith. I'm Johnny's father. I own a gun. Okay, thank you. We'll put you down on the list. That's not going to be it. They're going to say, Mr. Smith, can you come in for a second? We'd like to know what kind of gun it is, and if you could give us your serial number to your gun. And the bottom line is this. If one of the kids walks into the school with a gun, and the kid gets caught with the gun, they have a registry in the school. They know who the gun belongs to, so therefore that parent can go to jail. That's exactly what it's for. I mean, if they're calling that a deterrent, in some sort of way, but that's the part that baffles the crap out of me. If you own a gun, bitch, I'm already registered. If anything happens with this gun, So the authorities are already going to know who the gun belongs to. Now I got to inform you, small town? I hope not. I hope she's not that stupid.
She said it's the inner city.
But the urban core. I love that term.
The urban core.
Wow.
Well, check this out. The urban core, most of them jokers that got pistols.
Then they don't have them legally. And they're damn sure not going to tell the school. They're not telling the school squat. I couldn't get any dumber than this. I just found that on Breitbart. It baffles the crap out of me. I know, Sal, you probably have more deterrence than anything to own a gun in Massachusetts.
Well, let's put it this way, Reese, and I mean, I'll be frank. If someone tries to get in my house, they're not going to be leaving. That's for sure. Now,
right.
You know, you can look at guns, and the irony, I don't know if you know the real minutia of Massachusetts details, but you own a gun in Massachusetts, you literally have to lock it up, and you have to separate the ammunition from the weapon, okay? Now, home invasions being what they are, the method of entry, usually they're in the house within 30 to 40 seconds.
Right.
How many people coming out of a dead sleep are going to react to that and have a gun at the ready? It's just not practical. So, you know, in order to really protect yourself these days, you have to have other plans and ways to mitigate a lot of that kind of thing. But, you know, a gun for home defense, I honestly believe, can be overrated in Massachusetts. It depends where you live. It depends on the situation. If you have a young child at home, you're not going to leave a gun just laying around, at least unless you're like that moron who had the kid who went off the rails. You know, you're not going to leave a gun loaded, let alone unlocked. So there are a lot of people that won't buy a gun for that reason alone. It's like some people won't buy a pool when they have a young kid, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, defending yourself in a home is one thing. I don't even view this as a defending yourself in a home issue because I think you can defend yourself many ways with lethal force. It doesn't have to be a gun.
Right.
So the bottom line is the frightening thing, we talked about it, it's the registry. It's what the bill's real meaning is, which to me starts off as a gun bill, but what it really is, it's a paradigm shift in the way people are allowed to maintain weapons, and it's only the beginning. The registry is a key indicator of that, and we've talked about some of the reasons why. So I'm afraid of the bill, but you've got to think that this would never get through the House, obviously. It's going to even have some trouble in the Senate because people are up for re-election. So the bill, to me, is nothing more than grandstanding and them trying to, again, use it as a political chip in the midterm Senate elections. I just can't see it any other way. I mean, because you have Senate elections.
The
Senate elections in 2 years.
The election is in, right, less than 2 years.
So, that's what I really think this is all about. They can't do anything substantial because they don't have the support across the board. But if they don't at least make the attempt, even if it's obviously bull, you know, then their constituents aren't going to be happy. And so they're trying to – this is all about appeasing people. The reality – did you hear the story about the school that ran the drill with the SWAT team and didn't tell the teachers?
Really?
Absurd. So I think it was in New York. Don't hold me to that. The principal or the school administrator agreed to allow to have a SWAT team basically storm the school as if it was a real shooting event. They did not tell the teachers. They didn't inform the parents or the kids. You're talking about kids who are 8 years old and younger, I believe.
Oh.
This is the madness. This is the madness, and this isn't an isolated thing. They're trying to stir the fear and the frenzy, because in doing so, you can affect change if you scare enough people. Just like when you lie in an election, you know, your taxes are going to go up if, you're Mitt Romney, he doesn't care about the other. People believe it. And so this is the same idea. They're striking while it's hot because they know they've got people. People react in fear. Many people do. And so when people are afraid, that's when you hit them up.
Yeah,
and that's really
exactly
going on. And it's not just this. If you look at all the issues that are being pushed now by the left, they're trying to strike while it's hot. You know, we want a mandate election, so we're just going to do whatever we want and get it in and cram it in. So we'll see what happens. I just have the opinion that it's almost an every man for himself kind of situation right now. You better know how to protect yourself. You better have a plan when it comes to protecting yourself, not only in your home, but economically, in every way, because things are just bleak. I just don't see it getting better anytime soon. You know, unless the midterms change the direction. We'll see.
Yeah. Yes. It is getting that bad. You're absolutely right. Thank you, Sal, as always. Let's take a break. We'll be back shortly. We'll end the show in a little bit when we get back right here on Reese on the Radio.
Reese on the Radio, 20 minutes to the top of the hour right here on blogtalkradio.com. One day left, folks. One day left. Reese on the Radio leaving blogtalkradio.com. Mary just was reading an impressive story. You got to come over here and read that. Come on, grab the blanket. I don't know why you won't just put on a sweater. You know, that's what normal people do. Just put on a sweater when you're cold.
I don't like being in sweaters like that.
You were about to say you don't like being bundled up, but there you are looking like an Eskimo in an igloo.
Okay, whatever.
All right, great story coming out of what state?
Coming out of New Mexico.
New Mexico, great story.
This is, via the HuffingtonPost.com.
I think we're gonna elaborate on this story tomorrow on the midday show.
Okay. New Mexico bill would criminalize abortions after rape as tampering with evidence.
Wow.
A Republican lawmaker, in New Mexico, introduced a bill on Wednesday that would legally require victims of rape to carry their pregnancies to term in order to use the fetus as evidence for a sexual assault trial. House Bill 206, introduced by State Representative Catherine Brown, Republican, would charge a rape victim who ended her pregnancy with a third-degree felony for tampering with evidence. Tampering with evidence shall include procuring or facilitating an abortion, or compelling or coercing another to obtain an abortion of a fetus that is the result of criminal sexual penetration or incest with the intent to destroy evidence of the crime, the bill says. Third-degree felonies in New Mexico carry a sentence of up to 3 years in prison. Pat Davis of the Progressive Now New Mexico, a progressive nonprofit opposing the bill, called it blatantly unconstitutional on Thursday. The bill turns victims of rape and incest into felons and forces them to become incubators of evidence for the state. According to Republican philosophy, victims who are legitimately raped will now have to carry the fetus to term in order to prove their case. The bill is unlikely to pass as Democrats have a majority in both chambers of New Mexico state legislature. An update at 12:25 p.m. Brown said in a statement Thursday that she introduced the bill with the goal of punishing the person who commits incest or rape and then procures or facilitates an abortion to destroy the evidence of the crime. New Mexico needs to strengthen its laws to deter sex offenders, said Brown. By adding this law in New Mexico, we can help protect women across our state. So I guess she's trying to say this will deter men from raping or raping, you know, girls or women, or and then engaging in incest with their female.
I understand what it
family
is.
Family members, but however, they'll just start strapping on or pulling out.
Okay, thank you.
If they're gonna do it, they're gonna do it. This isn't gonna deter. They don't care if you get pregnant and have a baby.
I just don't want you to use that term. I'm not saying it's for me. It's kind of, you know, it's a little graphic. But okay, here's my point about this story.
So all you're doing is saving people from.
I have a slight problem with the criminalization of a victim. I have an issue with that. If indeed the person is a victim, I have that whole thing about criminalizing them. I think, though, there's an ulterior motive here about preventing abortion in some sort of way. It's sort of like there's a little bit of an agenda here by the Republican. But that being said...
Well, do they have a lot of girls that go in and say, I was raped and I have to have an abortion? Is that what a lot of girls use as an excuse at Planned Parenthood?
That's possibly true. There's a strong possibility that maybe someone's trying to deter that and saying, look, if you were raped, you can't use an abortion. You can't use getting an abortion anymore. You can't get an abortion anymore. And you can't use rape as a means to get an abortion. But yet, that being said, the only argument I'm having here is that what I think that the government should be doing is, I shouldn't use the word providing, but forcing the authorities, prosecutors and police alike. But hold on. Prosecutors and police alike force them to procure the amount of evidence that's really needed to solidify, quote unquote, a conviction or therefore an indictment to charge a rapist or an alleged rapist. Right, without having to use the fetus. There should be something else that goes on here. We can't just have a system that just says somebody can wake up one day and say I was raped and it was by that person. I'm taking this personal, but you know what I mean. It's that we have a system of law today that says, you know, think about the rabbi in Arizona. You know, this guy, 10 years later, he's a rabbi at a synagogue in Arizona. He's walking with his daughter and his wife. They're walking to the minivan. Guys come out with guns. He thinks they're being robbed. He pushes his wife and his children, telling them to run. He's dragged all the way back to New York. He's prosecuted by my prosecutor, Rachel Ferrari. And his case is some seven, eight years ago, a girl says that she was over at his house and he raped her. And they had no physical evidence whatsoever. And they were forced to drop the charges. After he spent time in jail, then the guy ends up losing his job, his tenure at the synagogue. But again, this was a situation where money was spent, time, manpower, all of it spent to fly all the way from New York to Arizona to pick this guy up, fly him all the way back, and then to drop the charges with little to no evidence, just the girl's word. So I understand in this particular case, the woman, the Republican here is saying that, look, we don't want people just being able to walk into a police precinct and just saying, look, I've been raped, or walking into an abortion clinic. Well, I'm saying.
I can still say, hey, you can get me pregnant, and I can go say, hey, he raped me.
That's what I'm saying.
It doesn't mean that you raped me.
Right, it just means that.
If I have a baby, doesn't mean that you raped me. So what is the fetus going to do?
But again, you can't tell by a fetus whether or not the baby was produced by forced entry. You can't. Only a gynecologist can tell through examining you by finding out there was forced entry, tears, whatever it is. And this is that argument that everybody was saying about legitimate rape and the body. A noticeable trauma, exactly. You know, that it's not a result of rough sex or any of that. Right. It's not a result of rough sex or whatever. In my case, one of the biggest things was that they got a gynecology report from my accuser, and they redacted most of the report when they handed it to us. And when we read it, the gynecologist read, well, what they wrote, said that there was absolutely no physical trauma. None.
Well, because when was that from?
This was 3.5 years later.
Well, of course there was no trauma.
But no. You can still have that test done to see if there's any residual damage. Any. And we're talking about somebody who at the time would have been 11 and a half, 12 years old. Why wouldn't that still be there? Why wouldn't it still be there? I'm a 6'4", 6'5" black man. And not to toot my own horn, I'm pretty endowed. And this is supposed to be a child. Why wouldn't the trauma still exist? Why would there not be some sort of physical damage done to this person? There was none. Gynecologist flat out said nothing. So that in and of itself should be the test that determines whether or not somebody was physically hurt. Not a fetus. The fetus isn't going to determine whether or not the woman was raped or not. It just isn't. That's why I say that I believe that there's a little bit of a ruse here to avoid abortion. So that's why I believe that.
But
that
you don't need an excuse to get an abortion. You can get an abortion just. You want to get divorced.
Can you get it for free if you say you were raped?
I don't know.
I couldn't see Planned Parenthood charging you money if you would come in and say that you were a victim of rape or incest and you wanted to have an abortion and they not find a way to fund it themselves. Because, again, Planned Parenthood is fighting tooth and nail with several organizations to give up any information to find out whether or not any federally funded money, some $500 million, is actually being used on abortion. They won't give up the books. You gave me a strange look when I was giving that little thing when I was talking about the gynecology thing. Was that you? Did I not talk to you? I didn't tell you about that before. You didn't know that. But a lot of people didn't know that.
I just figured I would know that.
Well,
and I think I gave you a strange look when you said, you know, I'm 6'4", and I don't want to toot my own horn, but I'm pretty, you know. That wasn't necessary.
But as a, okay,
okay.
I'm saying it because it's a fact. If the evidence in and of itself were there, that anybody looking there would say, and all you would have to do at trial, which was why it was never brought up in trial, and why Rachel Ferrari said, and I quote, when they handed us the evidence, after they handed us that piece of evidence about the gynecology report, she said, and I quote, we have no intent to use this as evidence because it doesn't suit their cause.
Of course.
And in no way help their case.
Therefore, why would they use it as evidence?
Well, exactly. So they had no intent of using it as evidence. And here it is, we're getting this extremely redacted. And that's the reason why they didn't want to use it as evidence, because they completely redacted most of the information on the report. They used most of the information was redacted. And if they were going to use it, of course, we'd have to know all of the other details that we didn't know. Now, what could that information be? Take a wild guess. Could only be two things. It could only be two. You can't figure it out?
No.
Abortion or an STD?
Oh, I thought something different.
What did you think, JC? What did you think?
Speedometer.
Speedometer?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Oh, that she was fast?
Or had more miles than a New York City taxi.
I would. Than a New York City taxi. No, of course, the only reason why you omit that is evidence, you're going into what's considered a rape trial. But you go into the courtroom and you say to the jury, there's no physical evidence here. Not one. We just want you to convict based on her word. And every person who sat there just said, and now she asked them, I have to make this abundantly clear. She asked the jury during voir dire, is there anybody here who needs physical evidence in order to convict? And each and every one of them said, well, if other evidence proved as such, then they wouldn't see any reason why not to convict. They said flat out, they said, well, if you proved your case beyond a reasonable doubt that it happened, then we see no problem with convicting. But then she got angry after before we got the mistrial. Well, no, sorry, after we got the mistrial. When the jury was dismissed, they moved everybody, you know, out and told them they could go. If you want to talk to the lawyers, you can. If you refuse, you don't have to. Those who stopped and talked to Rachel Ferrari and my lawyer, David Cohen, some of them said that you didn't have any physical evidence. She got back into the courtroom and told the judge she was furious. I think that this was unfair. People who said that they would not judge this if there was no physical evidence went into there and that was all they argued. Whose fault is that? They sat there and they heard the evidence. They heard everything that contradicted everything. You got a police officer who made the report by the alleged victim, the accuser here. And they contradict each other, and they say, and there's no physical evidence, and you got two conflicting stories with the authorities and the accuser, and you got no physical evidence to throw him out? No, we're not going to convict. All you got left, if you had the police officer to completely agree with everything it is that she said, if everything that he said was straight in line with what she said, my ass would have been locked up. And all the evidence in the world, it just would have been he said, she said, but it would have been she said, and he said, and she said, and she said, and they said. That would have been a done deal. But you come up with no physical evidence, and you not like you went and got, you didn't go and get some. You went and saw a gynecologist, and then you flat out said to us, we have no intention of using this information. It's the smoking gun.
Of course it is.
It's the flat-out smoking gun.
You had nothing else, and then you don't, and you still don't have to.
And you don't use it. You don't use it. You refuse to use it. You flat-out just they say it in court. We're in pretrial. We want to give this to the defense because we have to give them a copy of it. We just want to let them know that we have no intention of using the information from it. So when she handed it to David, I'm wondering what it is. And I look at it and I say, oh, my God, it's the gynecology report. I said, I didn't even think they actually went and got one.
Did David use it?
No, there was no need to. We had no information on it. So I'll put it to you this way. It was so blacked out, it looked like an FBI file. You know when the FBI releases those files and everything is blacked out? That's what it looked like.
Yeah.
It looked like the documents from the JFK assassination.
So what are you hiding?
Yeah, exactly. What are you hiding? And the reason... F privacy. And I'm not trying to be graphic here, but this case is about your vagina. Bottom line. Okay? That's what this case is about. And if I in any way violated it, that's what it is that you've got to go on. If I'm that kind of scumbag, that's the evidence that you use. You let everybody know that I'm the scumbag that did that to you. And you come with every ounce of proof that you got. Instead, you turn around and you say the one piece, the focal point of this, you go, nah, we're not going to pay attention to that. We just want you to hear her words. And before we go, let me just give you this last tidbit that you're going to love. This is one of my favorite parts of the case. My favorite part. During the voir dire, the second chair of this district attorney's office says to the jury, what if you and your friend go to the movies? And you go to the movies and you walk out, and a couple of years later, you ask your friend, hey, you remember that time we went to the movies, and when we went outside, we saw a clown who had balloons, and the friend says, well, I know that we went to go see the movie, but I don't remember the clown. There was a clown outside? I don't remember that. As if to say that witnesses would not all remember every part of the story. If you went to the movies 3 years ago or 4 years ago, you wouldn't remember the trailers that ran during the movie. You wouldn't remember if you had popcorn or jujubes. You wouldn't remember stuff like that. And she brought up this thing about the clown outside, as if to say this big bribe, you know, this big event happened outside the movie theater with this clown with balloons, and the person probably doesn't remember that part. Well, David, my lawyer, gets up there after her voir dire, and he says, you know, she's absolutely right. If you walked outside and the clown was out there and he had balloons and everything, you probably wouldn't remember that. But if the clown had a hammer or a bat and was bashing your friend's head in, you'd remember that, wouldn't you? This isn't a case about whether or not I was outside in a colorful outfit with red hair with balloons. This is about whether or not I violated you, brutally raped you. This isn't about balloons.
Bleeding.
Yeah, exactly.
It was
couldn't stop laughing at that.
Yeah,
exactly. We'll see you guys tomorrow. It's Rich on the Radio.
Follow me into the sun and let your soul be free. The E and D. This ain't nothing but the E and D. Follow me into the sun and let your soul be free. The E and D. But the E and D, follow me into the sun and let your soul be free. The E and D, follow me into the sun and let your soul be free.